We are recording now. Let's see if that holds. Hopefully it does. But regardless, we tried. That was me hitting the mic. Let me turn off. Oh no, I need that on, actually. I need them both. I need it all on. DS106 Radio, you're listening to Jim Groom, and I'm about to call on the Skype John Johnston to check in with him. Let's see how that goes. Johnny? Johnny, I'm coming for you, Johnny. I don't know if Scottish people like to be called Johnny, though. Maybe. I can't imagine why they wouldn't, but I never called them Johnny, so I'm not going to call them Johnny on the air when I'm talking to them. But I am going to talk to them and refer to him as John. Anyway, here we go. DS16 Radio for a little fireside chat with Jim Groom on the radio. Let's see? Let's call him. Huh, call. Free on Skype. It's great that it's free. Oh, shit.
Hey, Jim.
Hey. How you doing, John?
Not too bad. Wait a minute. Microphone. Don't want to be doing that. Hang on. Can I try?
You can do whatever you want, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
That's good. We're on the same page. It's nice to hear your voice. I'm going to just change this to this other setup. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you clean as a Scottish whistle.
Right, that's cool. And can you hear this? Let's see. I'll move you over there. Wait a minute. Let's see if you can hear this.
What are you playing for us?
Let's see. Listen to it instead. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear that.
Yeah, I can. I need to figure that out. You can hear the music.
I can hear the music.
Oh, cool. Right. That's great. Okay.
Are you going to, like, gong me throughout this call? Like, you're going to gong me with reggae music?
I don't know, John. I was actually looking for, where is it? Something that I think, there we go. Trouble is I can't hear it. Can you hear that?
I can't hear anything right now.
Oh, wait a minute.
I wonder if people can hear us.
Well, are we live?
We're live, yeah.
All right, okay. Okay, that's good. I'm glad we're sounding professional. I always like that. What I'm trying to do, I don't know if I'm playing any music or not, because I can't hear it. I don't know why that's not playing.
I love that you're futzing on the radio, because I always thought it was me. So here's my story, John. And supposedly I'm coming in at 0.6 versus your 1.0 Canadian, which I believe is a joke. But even if it's a joke, Martin Wheeler is screwing with me via Twitter on the radio, which is like a triangulation of messing with me.
Yeah. Sometimes I think you shouldn't look at Twitter and just ignore it, because it just takes you away. I'm trying to find, I can't find a bit of audio. I've got a really nice wee piece of audio that I thought people would like. It's not, but it's not playing from the wee pop-up-y thing in iTunes. Hang on, dude.
Oh, you can. They can hear your, they can hear you your audio pretty clearly. Yeah. Your cool.
It's how do we inhabit a neoliberal society that is almost in its essence committed to inequality and disadvantage? That's how it's structured. And create within that an alternative reality in education that shows young people and others a vision of the future which challenges the society in which they live.
I always kind of think that's a bit like the bag of gold thing.
Yeah.
From Scotland. for some reason, it always strikes me as a good, I don't know.
Who is that? Is that Neil Smith?
No, it's a guy, David Cameron, not the politician David Cameron, who is I don't know what he is now. He's been a teacher and a head teacher and a local advisor, and he talks about education a lot. And he's very good at the saying it like it is sort of statements.
He's very good at the political firebrand. Let's burn it down.
But are we, we're actually like, oh, I can see my face. Can you see my face now? That's good. And we're actually on the radio.
You are on the radio. And you know what?
This I used to have a set of headphones plugged in.
This is as comfortable as it was sitting next to you at OER 16.
I'm just trying to, I wonder what we're doing here.
I got something for you, though. I do got something for you. So you tell me what you think. Reading about it today and thinking about it today, I was having coffee this morning with Antonella. And so we were sitting down. We do this every morning. We've been in, this is day 10 for us of lockdown. And we were like, you know what? Everything here feels differently. There's already like, and one of the people, one of the jokes people made about where I live in Trento is they said, after the Soviet Union fell, the last true communist region was Trentino because they own everything. Like the provincia, you know, 50 to 60% of the taxes, like it's consolidated a lot of the power. And these days I'm feeling that. And I'm feeling the kind of sense of like the consolidation of resources, immediately providing people loans, like the disparation, the disparity in wealth is not nearly as high as you have in places like the US. So it's almost felt a little bit like soothing to kind of talk about like, you know, the neoliberal society, but find myself in some strange alpine alternative to that.
Yeah.
It makes any sense at all. It's trippy.
No, it took completely. And I was, just before you came on, I was much astonished to be deeply moved by listening to our Conservative Chancellor in Britain. And they've just announced, I only heard a wee bit of it, so I don't know if there's a there's a catch in it, but they've said they're going to basically pay 80% of people's wages from the government. I know Denmark have done something like 75%. And this morning, listening to the radio, they were saying that they thought that the government was going to do about 60%, and that the Labour Party and the trade unions were saying it should be about 90%. But what was amazing was, one, the Chancellor said this, and two, he said he'd been in discussion with the unions and stuff like that about this. And that just, I actually got quite moved by that.
Absolutely.
It's because it's a very weird time. We're obviously quite far behind you. I certainly haven't seen anybody who's going to deliver me £40 of flour.
It's funny though, but like you start to think of stuff like that, you start to think of like, you know, the food, you know, the basics, like my dog has epilepsy, I was thinking about his medicine, like just weird things, like everything gets pared down. Like I'm not thinking of bills, I'm not thinking of investments, I'm not thinking like, and there's all these people talking about money, and I like, I think you're talking about money or something like that because you're not in it yet. But when you're in it, you know you're in it, and you're locked in. You know what I mean? Like, and I think to hear the you know, political system there acknowledging that 80% of that is a good thing. And I think...
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really great to me. I'm, I never expected to hear that sort of thing. But I've been, you've been... How many days have you been in?
10.
And are you actually in the house all the time?
Pretty much. I went out today for the first time in like 8 days.
Right.
Yep. And I went and got a donut and milk for my coffee.
And are you allowed to go take the dog out?
I am. I mean, I can go out with the dog around the house. I'm not allowed to take like long hikes. And I have to have a letter that's basically declaring me. So it's funny. You want to hear a funny story? So I go out this morning, and so my Antonella is like basically like, you know, you have asthma, you smoked, you know, unfiltered cigarettes for 25 years. I'm considering you a high risk patient.
It seems reasonable.
And so she's like, you can't go outside. So we're joking about that, but I'm like, today she's been going every morning or every other morning, and so I was like, okay, you know what, I'll go today. And you're really actually only allowed to go to the grocery store twice a week. Mm. And you'd be surprised, John, but my Italian is still awful.
Yeah, so, no.
She wrote me like a little permission slip in Italian.
Did you find this boy sitting at home?
So like, so I'm going there and I'm with my dog and I have this adult permission slip.
Yeah.
And it's just a completely like bizarre situation. But anyway, I go in and the woman who works in the bakery, you know, greeted me. I think I was there at like 7 a.m. I'm probably the first customer. No one else was on the street. And I was just like, I went in and in my broken Italian, I was like, thank you. Like, you folks here doing this. And she's been there every morning. She's been, you know, supplying us with milk, donuts, you know, simple things like eggs, coffee, and cookies. And you have no idea how appreciative I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's the world to us because that's pretty much all we have and all we need. And, you know, at this point at least. And so it's strange how quickly everything gets reduced to, you know, do I have enough food?
Mm.
You know, do I feel like a certain amount of comfort? And here I do. One of the statistics that was super interesting is that crime, which is not, oh, it's not high in Trentino to begin with, dropped by 88%.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, there's no crime.
Yeah, they're secluding themselves, I guess. If you're a criminal, you're staying in the same as everybody else. And what about food and stuff like that? Because some of the things over here, the supermarkets are just getting empty. And I know Italy doesn't rely on supermarkets quite as much as we do. But are the food markets open, vegetables and stuff like that? And
it's a good question. The supermarkets are open. And I've been there once the day it started. Like, so I guess it's a week and a half ago. Yeah, it's 10 days ago, Tuesday. So not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before is when lockdown started. And so I was nervous that morning. I woke up, I went into my office, I read the news, I realized we're under lockdown, and I went to Antonella. I'm like, we're not ready for a lockdown. We're not ready. We're not like hoarders. We're not survivalists. We kind of buy our food every day. So the idea of buying it even for 4 or 5 days is crazy. So anyway, I go up there and I'm pretty nervous about what I'm going to see in the supermarket. And what I see is that it's completely normal. You know, they have masks on. They're letting people in. But they make sure that only 2 or 3 people go into the supermarket at a time. I get everything I need. I do a big shopping, like 80 euros worth of food. It holds us over for 2 or 3 days. And I come home, and after that, I felt completely relieved. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think we can do this. Like, I was nervous to begin with, but then I got calm, and that's how it's been. The markets were open, like vegetable markets and the square markets, but those closed. They did close those. They basically are limiting it to, like, bakeries and supermarkets. And I guess there's some concern about whether this stuff can travel in the open air and whether you want to have a market area event. They can kind of control the supermarkets, like who goes in.
Yeah, yeah.
The open air stuff, they don't feel like they can, so they closed it. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems reasonable. I mean, I don't hear it. They haven't quite got that yet. I think we've managed to empty all our shelves of pasta and tomatoes for some reason. Everybody's turning Italian. So, I say we've emptied of that, and toilet roll for some reason seems to have disappeared off the shelves, and rice and stuff like that. The basics people have been buying, yeah. I think spare freezers and filling them up. But again, like yourself, I think I've got an extra couple of shopping bags full of stuff, which feels a wee bit nervy. But
yeah. I mean,
I think,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just think, some of the smaller shops here don't seem to, because the people that are wanting to get everything, get a big pile, they're going to the supermarkets. I think some of the smaller shops here are better stocked, you know.
That's been the case with us. So there's this big supermarket. It's called the Coop, the Co-op. I always say the Coop, but I think it's the Co-op. And that basically, that's gigantic. It's like one of those big American stores or big, probably British stores. But they're very uncommon here. The store we have is like a, you know, is about like a, I don't know. It's like a two bodegas. It's like two storefronts. It's not big at all. It can fit like 30, 40 people comfortably. But that has everything. And the thing that really like lifted my spirits is that they actually were doing deliveries, because one of the reasons Italy's getting hit so hard and the mortality rate is so high is that it's got a huge elderly population. And they're doing a lot of deliveries to the elderly population, which is super nice.
Yeah, but the schools are all closed as well.
The schools have been closed since February 26th or 27th. And they went back briefly for 2 or 3 days, but then they shut that back down altogether.
Yeah. And are your kids, I don't know, early teens?
Yeah, so my kids, so Tommaso, as an interesting point, was born in 2009. And he was an infant and a baby all while we were doing DS-106 and then DS-106 radio. But he's the youngest, and he's 10 now. Tess is 13, and Miles is 15. So they're teenagers, and Tommy is kind of on the cusp.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because if you think about it, a teenager in lockdown with his parents for 10 days, like my 15-year-old, all he wants to do is go to the skate park and sleep over his friends. And so he's in a fresh hell of hanging out with his parents, and we're like, you should read a book.
I spent the whole day telling the children I teach, well, we're not going to see you for a while, so read books.
Exactly.
They're all going, we want to play Minecraft.
In fact, there's been a lot of Minecraft going on here. Can I ask you though? I was struck by the tweet you put out today, because I know you're teaching kids in Scotland, and I think it's in Glasgow, but I might be wrong with that, so correct me. But you had a pretty kind of heartfelt tweet about you don't know what's happening. This could be the last day. You know, you want to talk a little bit about what it's been like?
Well, it's been weird because I guess because the things change so fast, we don't hear news very quickly, and it was just yesterday. On Wednesday they said that they were going to close the schools today, so about half of my children stayed off yesterday and today. You know, that some of them have just decided to self seclude or whatever, and some of them just didn't. But it felt really strange because obviously there's this in everybody's head. Is just trying to get around this, and you're feeling quite tense, and you've got, although I live in Glasgow, I teach a bit outside in a small rural school at the moment, so I've got a class of 8 to 11-year-olds, so it's multi-stage, you know, and they just seemed so young yesterday, and I was just giving them as much fun as I could, really, and keeping things as calm as possible, but all the time you're trying to find out what's going on and, you know, what's going to happen. And we still don't really know. We'll go into school on Monday, and because they're going to keep the schools open for essential workers children, really, or children who have, you know, additional support needs or things like that. So, but we don't know how that's going to turn out. And we haven't, you know, I guess the local council that run the schools don't really know until people start turning up. But it's, and some of the kids, well, I've only got 3 primary sevens that talk each, but they would be leaving school in June. And usually it's not like, you know, what we see from America graduation where it's this huge thing, but usually we make a wee bit of fuss over them, you know, and they have a good last day. And you're going, well, you're actually not getting that good last day because we'll just be saying cheerio to you and stuff today, you know?
Yeah.
So that felt a bit odd.
That is weird. I mean, my son, who's 10, Tommaso, I think he's getting hit hard with it because, you know, he's going to move from primary to middle school here. But I just think, like, at that age, like you said, like, I always think of Tommy as, like, you know, he's into things, he's hanging out, but he seems like with the weight of the world of this announcement, and it's just like you can see him being like, what is going on? Like, you know, they're trying to deal with it to the degree they can, and they're yelling behind me to show you that they're still alive. But, like, the idea is that, you know, they're struggling with this, and Tommy in particular is really kind of struggling with the idea around this, and it's rough to watch it.
Yeah, well, I don't actually, you know, they're getting chapped hands and things from washing their hands so many times and stuff like that. They just seem like, to this week, have got younger, you know, and I don't know.
It's true.
It's very, very strange. And I don't know how it's going to play out over the next week or so before we actually things settle down. Because if we're in for the same sort of length as you've had.
Yeah. I think the timeline there is going to start hitting. Like, you're going to start. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just look at people who are still congregating, like even as early as last week when we went into lockdown. By Friday, I would see pictures of people together and I'd get like freaked out.
Yeah.
Because I had already been trained in Italy to think like if you're around people, like you're in trouble. And so like when I start seeing these big collections of people, it's almost like I'm triggered, right? But the other thing that's interesting to me that I've read is like, how are you? Are you working with the students? Like, you've been doing blogs, you've built blog networks, and you've also done radio. Do you want to talk a little bit about, like, are you coming up with a plan B, and are you kind of thinking through some of that stuff? Or are you just being like, you know what, that's not even on the radar because we just got to deal with what's what, right?
Well, I think there's a kind of expectation that we try and keep something going. In Scotland, we've got this thing called Glow, which is basically a big bunch of tools. And I worked for a couple of years and I still do a wee bit of part-time on the WordPress thing.
Yeah.
So basically everybody in Scottish education can have a blog, kids, teachers, whatever. But they also have got, well, it depends where you are in the country, but you've got O365 and you've got Google and a big bunch of other things. And lots of people have been rushing like mad to get things like Teams set up and Google Classroom set up and all the rest of it. And I think that's going to be difficult for children the age 9 are, because at that age, I don't think you haven't got exams, you're not worried about your education in any particular way. So I think it's going to be tricky for them actually to do anything. And all I've done at the moment is, my kids have used Teams and stuff once or twice just to show them what a chat app was, really, because I don't think that is a thing I need in my classroom, because I've a range of ages, but I can talk to the children by not even having to raise my voice, you know? So I don't need an online thing. I don't set homework online. But we do, the kids all use blogs as a sort of e-portfolio. They'll use WordPress blogs like that. So they're used to using that. And all I've done is, on our sort of school, a class site, is put up a page with a bunch of stuff that they could do, like read a book, do these sums.
My son would hate you. Read a book,
but other stuff as well. You know, I mean, we've got a Minecraft set up for them so they can use that and other sort of online things, but also some of them won't be online. You know, their parents might either not give them access or not have very good access. They might not have a device they can get hold of. So there's kind of stuff that they could do, you know, read a book, write a diary, you know, do some sums, learn your tables, do practice stuff, have fun, make a zine, you know, that sort of thing. I've got bits and pieces like that on.
I love the make a zine idea. That'd be great.
I was really interested in seeing that. That was because that came up. I don't know, it was a workshop you guys were doing.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was at OER 19 with Brian Mathers.
Yeah.
And it was great.
So I was going, oh, those are those wee books we use. I didn't know they were called zines. Call them making a wee book. And I use it occasionally with the kids. You know, we just fold up the paper and make a wee book. And usually they have a good time doing that. I never thought, oh, that's a zine. But now I'll say to them, make a zine. It's a good sounding word.
It is a good sound. And Amy Bervell, I tell you, it was her and Brian. And the thing that she did that was so awesome is she had these awesome, just simple cutouts from magazines and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it really just prompted the imagination and everyone was laughing and creating. It was it was cool. That's a good point to bring that up. I would definitely do something like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll tell you another thing there, because I'm going to cut you off, John, because I do. Because that's how I know.
That's okay. I'll play some music in a minute.
No. But I loved what you said about the 9-year-olds and the 10-year-olds, because my son is, who I talked about already, Tommaso, he's 10. And his teacher, I really like the way she's dealt with it. She's been communicating with parents via email. She's been sending weekly work that they can work through. And she's been doing check-ins with the families. Mm-hmm. And I really think it works. Like, to send the email, the kid has a structure about he's doing his work. And then she just says, hey, is there anything going wrong? She's not pushing for any video conferencing. She's not pushing for... And there's three teachers. And the way it works in here in Italy is that they have their same teacher in elementary school from first grade up and until fifth grade.
That's interesting. Because I'm in a wee school, I get what we call primary 4 up to primary 7.
Yeah.
So I'll have children for 3 or 4 years. And which is quite unusual here. Usually you get a primary school teacher for 1 year, maybe occasionally you'll take a class on to the next stage. But because we're a wee school and there's only two teachers, really two classes, it's similar, and it's an odd thing to do like that. Feels like that to me, because I always taught in bigger schools. Because you feel quite responsible because you've got these same children, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, any children I teach will never have any musical knowledge, or it'll be really ropey, or it'll come off some system that we've got to use, do music, you know? But they'll be able to use WordPress, you know? I'm not 100% sure, you know, but you got this nice mix of things. But usually you would think in a school, well, they've got me this year, so they're going to learn to use WordPress, but the music won't be great. But next year they've got this really good music teacher. But here they're stuck with me for 4 years.
Better you than me. If it was me, it would be like, oh, yeah, they have no other skills, but they're good manic depressives. They're bipolar. Like, you should see them do bipolar. They're amazing. Yeah.
That's a skill everybody should learn,
Yeah, but it's interesting because, I mean, there is a lot of talk about, like, the pivot and a lot of people saying a lot and doing a lot and working hard, you know, because people do need help and they need advice, and that's that. But, I mean, I've taken a bit of a page out of the book of Tommy's elementary school teachers, who were basically like, you know, here's the work. Let us know if you need anything. Please check in. And then whereas Miles, so let me do the switch, because we've been through this for a few weeks. So we're going to do, the family's going to get together. And if we can, this is our project. We're going to have them talk about their experience with the pivot, so to speak. And because the schools here, and I don't know, I don't want to speak too broadly, but like, it's pretty clear that they're not focusing on online education, and they don't really invest in any kind of infrastructure around that. So that just doesn't happen. So there's no real instructional technologists. There's no real of that for the K-12 at all. There's some IT folks, but they're dealing with like the email and like just making sure that the system that runs the basic administrative infrastructure is there. My son does have Google Classroom. And my daughter, he's in high school. My daughter, who's in elementary school, has basically, they got Google Classroom. Mm-hmm. But I swear to God, they will go to a meeting with the teacher and the teacher just doesn't understand the technology. So like they'll spend 45 minutes to an hour just trying to figure out like the camera. They'll be like me on the radio. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel bad. And like, it's a matter of workforce training, right? But the other thing is, once they figure it out, and so Tess's teacher has figured it out to some degree, but now she's like, you need to be on the video for like 3 or 4 hours. And it's like from one extreme to the other. And so, I mean, and I'm compassionate because I understand what it must be like, A, to be a teacher, to feel like you want to keep a sense of, you know, that consistency. But there's also just the reality that the kids, you know, are dealing with it. And I think they appreciate it to some degree, but also like, you know, they're having a hard time just wrapping their head around the situation. Like, they haven't seen their friends. They haven't left the house. You know, they're looking at each other in the face now. It's day 10. Everybody's got a beard, even Tommy at 10. You know? It's getting weird, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think this, I mean, I've had so many emails from companies that do educational technology for schools saying, you know, we're giving it free until June, that it's kind of too late.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to skill up a set of staff. We're not going to be able to teach children at a distance how to take up a new piece of technology, you know. I think what we've got to do is, if we're using it, is just dead simple stuff, things, you know. There's a post on a blog that telling you what to do, or there's an email.
Yeah.
You know, the old technologies that remember, is it you that used to talk about trailing edge technologies?
Yeah, I stole it from John Udell, but yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones. Yeah, and steal from the best. But yeah, that idea is don't try and start something that's going to be difficult.
And
find your way around some weird interface, you know.
And it's interesting too that you bring that up, because one of the things, you know, Reclaim Hosting, luckily we can work remotely. You know, everybody right now is healthy and awesome, so we're lucky in that. But you know, seeing some of these ed tech companies putting on a bad look, like sending emails, it's like a shark who, you know, senses some blood in the water. Like, there is some weird, I mean, I understand there's a sense, but it's like, we'll give you free till June. And then it's like, you're right. Like, A, it's too late. But B, again, it's like a bad look. It's like getting an email from a stockbroker saying like, hey, I know everybody's losing everything right now, but it's a good time to invest. It's like, Jesus, like, it's like those, I don't know if you follow them, and I might've talked to you about this. I was on this kick in 2016, I'm sure, but maybe not. Like, do you know the early retirement people? Do you know the blog? There's like a whole group of bloggers, and they blog about early retirement. And for some reason, I came across them because when we were at Reclaim Hosting and we were looking for office space, one of the people who worked in this co-working space that we took over was basically an early retirement blogger. And it was weird because their whole like reason for being, their whole philosophy was like, use like, you know, index stocks, Vanguard stocks, this and everything. And like, it doesn't matter what they invest in. It doesn't matter any logic or philosophy behind it. It's just like, understand the system and then game it in order for you to take the money you have and retire early. And I was like, I'm saying, I don't know, like, what a short-sighted, completely greedy and like dishonorable way to spend your time and attention, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a little bit of that going on right now.
Yeah, having said that, I'd quite like to retire early. That'd be nice. I'm old enough to retire, John.
No, you're not going.
I just
anywhere.
Can't afford it. I just can't afford it.
All the good ones can't, John. The good ones can't.
a misspent youth from the saving point of view.
Well,
so why?
I think at this point you're going to have 80% of your salary regardless, right? So we're good.
Yeah, we're okay, because teachers are going to get paid, you know. So I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I hope so. Frankly.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. So anyway, why is the revival of DS106 Radio? What happened there?
I don't know, but I love it.
Yeah, so it just popped up.
Let me
think
ask,
it's because you're
No. Sorry. Let me ask you this, though. I don't know, but I'll try and answer it. But I remember you clearly coming into the realm of DS-106 when we were doing like Wire 106, maybe Twilight Zone 106 in 2013. Is that right?
So a bit before that, I think.
2012?
I can't remember. I remember the first... Oh, I'm trying to think of when it would have been. I mean, I'd been reading about it for quite a while, because the very first thing that I ever saw with yourself was yourself and Tom Woodward doing a presentation in COD Russian.
Yeah, non-Programistan.
Non-Programistan. And at that point, I had spent a big bunch of time on that tool that let you pull all sorts of stuff together without any programming. It was just a fantastic thing.
Yahoo was in school. Pipes, right?
No, it was even easier to use than that. Damn, I can't remember what it was called. But you could pull in like people from Twitter. You could pull in just all sorts of different things. And I spent ages putting something together for my kids at school to use this. It was like a database thing, but much nicer. You know, you could have maps and all sorts of things in it. And it didn't work because it was obviously blocked in our networks, because somebody might have a good time with it, which is quite often the rule in education. But you were talking about that at the time, and I saw that just crazy presentation, which I loved. And then I sort of followed DS-106. I remember I did the camp one. I did the Wire. I think I did one before the camp, but I'm not sure. That might have been the one I really sort of did a reasonable amount of. I've never finished any, or, you know.
Me neither.
Yeah. And I followed the one as much as I could, the one where you shaved your head.
Oh.
Dr. Oblivion, yeah.
So you were there from the beginning then.
I didn't see that one really. I just sort of saw bits about it and was thinking, I'm never going to do anything to do with that, because that just looks too mad. But the other one seems slightly more sane to get into. So we did those.
The Dr. Oblivion one was definitely completely on the edge of forever. Mm. Like, that was insane. But I remember the work you did with the SRT files and the supercuts.
Yeah, the great stuff. That's fantastic tools.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's just...
I love that stuff.
There's so many just good things that you can get to... that some clever person has made that you can do something really silly with, I think.
I played with the one you were doing, the one with the GIFs, where you would actually change that, almost take a GIF from The Shining, and then you would make it a comic book figure. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that's a command line thing. And it's, what is it? Graphic Image Magic. And there's this guy got a big library, one of which is Comify. So it takes a JPEG or something and makes it into a sort of comic. And you can tweak it and do clever things. But what you can do is get a video clip and start sort of chaining together lots of shell things. And I think that's really interesting for a way of learning stuff. I was thinking about this the other day. I almost wrote something about it, but it seemed too complicated. You know, the sort of bash thing? You can get output from that and pipe it to something else and pipe it to something else. And that really seems a great way of learning, because you get a result from the first wee thing you do, and then you think, oh, what can I do with that? And you can do something else. So you take FMPEG and you take a short video and you strip it down into a set of JPEGs, and then you put it through this Comify thing, and then the rest of your script would use GIFsicle to put it into a GIF, so you get a comic GIF.
That's, I remember, awesome.
That. Yeah. But all that stuff is great, because you're using stuff and you don't really need to know how it's working.
Well, it's funny, because I've been thinking about the SRT stuff a lot. So let me tell you my use case for it right now. So I went to two towns when we could still travel in Italy. I went to this place called Bassano, which is in Veneto, and it's very close to where they had the first major outbreak, apart from Lombardia. And I bought like 10 DVDs that were all Italian. They're like Italian. They don't have any English translation. And then I went down to, where else did I go? I went to, oh, I did in Florence too, and I bought another 10. And these are particular kind of genre films that you really don't get English in. And so they're called Poliziesco, and they're about the 1970s in Italy when you had a lot of violence on the streets. You had the kind of political, the Red Brigade versus the police versus the conservative fascist. And it's really just interesting, like kind of like gangster movies, but in the, you know, Italian cities in the 70s. And they have a very particular aesthetic and story arc to them that I love. I love it. I love it. But anyway, my Italian's decent in terms of understanding, but it's not great. But I have a project with Antonella where I want to actually translate these films and build SRT files for them and be able to not only grab them off the DVD, which is easy, but after doing that, translate them with an English translation and then put them on Reclaim Video and have a streaming. Because I think Tim, when he comes back from Jamaica, is working on a streaming service. So not only can we have the Reclaim, the DS-106 radio, but we can also have the TV. So DS-106.tv, and then get back to some of that crazy video streaming stuff. Because I think it would be fun. And it kind of circles all the way back, John, to your original question. I think it would be fun to revisit a lot of that stuff we did, you know, whether it was with radio, whether it's with Bash command line, like image GIFs, whether it's with, you know, video exploration, audio exploration. Like, I am loving the distraction of getting a new microphone, of figuring out my levels, of, you know, figuring out if I can get on you with Skype and then record it and we have something decent. And just not only connecting, which I love, but connecting with a group of people who have constantly inspired me to think about things and to kind of, you know, understand that the technology, while have its limits, also has some really awesome moments of connection and of imagination. And you are a kind of like, you know, beacon for me with all that stuff you did with DS-106 and your indie web stuff. Like,
well, starting to dig into that in a completely ignorant way. And it's quite, I mean, it's quite interesting, I think, indie web. But it's quite, I think one of the, it's quite hard. And there's two ways to do it. One is to understand everything. And there's the other way, which is my favorite, which is install a lot of plugins, click things and see what happens. But it's maybe not the most robust way to do things, and it may all fall down about my ears. And you're starting to rely on other services and stuff.
I think Alan Levine might disagree with you, though, because you seem to really riff well off of Alan's stuff. And when he does something and you do something and there's a ping pong back and forth of just magic. I mean, and I love that stuff. I love it when folks connect on an idea or a project or even just a silly thing.
Yeah, well, I think silly things are probably really good learning things. I don't know about... It's interesting the way people learn technology. I mean, I worked for... a number of years in the council that I work for as a teacher now, supporting digital until they get rid of us all to save money. but I really enjoyed that. But the way that I think it's a really difficult thing to get digital accepted by people who are very busy,
yeah,
like teachers. They've got lots of other things that are more important. And the way that I've certainly learned things is to do something that I get excited about. You know, that some magic happens in somewhere.
Right. I agree 100%.
I mean, I remember I didn't start teaching until I was about 30, but I really didn't like the idea of computers. I never used them when I was a kid or anything like that. And I just thought I was much more interested in the natural world, and I thought computers were awful. But at one point, I remember that my head teacher gave me a Mac to take home over the summer because she thought I should. It was like, I can't remember, her old system 7 point something or something. So it was way back. And there was a guy around the road from me who was a high school computing teacher, and he showed me HyperCard. And there was a wee, it was like a black and white animation of this wee cat, NEO or something like that was called. And you click buttons or click things and things happened. But he had got, at one point, he had recorded his daughter's voice and added it to a button. So when you click this bit, his daughter's voice said something, awesome. You know? And at that point, then several years went by, and then I lifted my head away from the screen because it's just like, oh, that's magic, you know? That is just brilliant. It's just magic. I really think that's great. And it's trying to find something, I think, that people will enjoy enough, you know, teaching them to do it for their job, I don't think, because they're going to do the minimum that they need to.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But if they find something, oh, wow, that's fascinating, I'm really excited about that.
And I have to say that, like, I agree with all the folks, and there are good, smart folks out there in ed tech who are like, look, this is no time for newfangled technology. This is no time. This is a time to just lock in, get people what they need, make them comfortable, and we'll all just see where it goes. And I agree with that. But for me, I'm like you. I was not into ed tech during the HyperCard days. And I know people like Alan and Darcy, they talk about the HyperCard days, and I know Darcy was getting almost misty-eyed about HyperCard.
Oh, it was the best. It's seriously the best application there ever was, in my opinion. It's just because you could do it without knowing almost anything. And there were so many bad things I made with that. But, you know, that's true of
It's funny, stuff. Though, because the thing that got me going was WordPress. So it was 2005. I just had 2004, 2005. We just had Miles. And I was a perpetual PhD student. And I got a job. I was teaching in a high school. And I just got a job as an instructional technology fellow. And at that time, I started a blog for my son using WordPress. And like you said, everything was silly. And before that, I had had HTML pages because I had gotten a cPanel account in like 2003, 2004, because one of my friends had it. And he showed me it, and I was like, this is cool. And I created web pages where we did something called, and this was hand-done web pages because I had done tutorials for faculty in the 90s. And so this is 2003, so I still knew how to do it. And I created a site called Freak of the Week, right? Where I would feature a student who I had when I was teaching high school English in Brooklyn. I would feature a student and like they were doing. And I had done this for a few weeks. And then one of the kids comes over to me and it's like, Mr. Groom, I really don't think you should be doing this. And I'm like, why not? She's like, well, I mean, we all like that you're like highlighting our work, but do you know what freak means? And I'm like, oh yeah, it's like an affectionate term for like, you know, someone who's kind of crazy or weird, but it's kind of a good, like freaks and geeks. And they're like, no, that's not really what it means in Brooklyn anymore. And I'm like, what does it mean? And she's like, it means to have sex. So here I am with my website, Sex of the Week, featuring high school students. Jesus, I could have been arrested. Yeah. And luckily, no one was minding the store in that school. But like, that was, I loved it though. I loved it because I would have a highlight of them with the book they talked about or read. I left that job and then I went back to try and finish my PhD. Never happened. But I got this instructional technology gig. And the thing that turned me on was I had pictures. I had just had my first son. I got a kind of digital camera and I was taking a ton of pictures of them. And then I was image mapping the pictures so that you could, like you said, you could click on an image and I would have things like Miles in Star Wars, like Miles, you know, Planet Miles was the name of the website. And I built it in HTML, and then I rebuilt it in WordPress. And then you click on an image, and then like it would be miles, and then you would hear a theme song, or you would see the image GIF or whatever it was. And I was just like you said, like I started that when he was born, like 2 or 3 months after he was born, and then I think I woke up and it was 2009. Right? Like it was like 4 years later. I was like, I've just been doing WordPress for the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, it was awesome, but I was just, like you said, it was a silly thing. It was about taking video and images of my son, my newly born son, and then daughter, and then my other son, and just playing with it, like literally for years. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah. No, I think who can people buy getting something that they find good fun and having a laugh is probably a better idea than, I may be wrong, but it just better idea than anything else. Or, like, you know, if you're going to learn about radio, doing it is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Bumping out, clicking, feeling things. I mean, when Mariana and I were doing 106 Bullets, usually we started with a glitch. About 50% of the time, because we were recording it, we had to start again. We would broadcast with only half of one of us speaking or something to start again. And that would change the show completely, because the second time through we would change it because we did stuff. But eventually we kind of put together, not robust, but reasonably interesting ways of doing things, you know.
It's cool. And I kind of realized it about, because I was on, I think, the final show of you and Matt, of the Good Spell.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. I still have that on my blog, frankly.
Yeah.
But the thing that's interesting is, as soon as I got on this, I knew, I mean, I'm doing this because I love to talk to people and I love to do this. But I also knew that I'm not very good at it. And as soon as I started and you were playing the music and like, I can do this. And then I was like, okay, this is going to be a good conversation, because he has no expectations of me whatsoever, technically.
Oh, why should we?
It's awesome.
I'm using this app called Loopback, which is from the same guys that make Audio Hijack. And it's really an interesting app. I mean, you can do all these things with free stuff, Soundflare and things, but Loopback costs a wee bit. I can't remember how much, but I've had it for a while and it keeps updating. But it basically pulls audio sources together and creates a sort of output device. So this device I'm using at the moment, and in Skype I've chosen DS106 Radio, which consists of my mic and iTunes. And also this thing called Pass-Through, which I don't know what it does, but it's on as well. I don't know if I don't know if I played something and something else or something. It enables other applications to set audio directly to this virtual device. I don't know why I can't monitor my iTunes. Maybe there's an option for that. But what's great is that then I mute when capturing. I could take that tick out. Can I just try this again for a minute, Jim?
Absolutely. You can do whatever you want. This is DS106 Radio.
If I'm back here, we liked some Ray, didn't we? Ah, I can hear it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're on. So. Yeah.
So I don't know if we can. Does that tone it down for you?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's cool. This is an amazing song.
So if we can take a second just to explain the fact that, so here's what's happening right now in my mind. I called John on Skype. I'm taking my audio from my computer and my microphone, which is at 0.5 Canadian, and I'm streaming it out on the internet. Now, what John is doing is he's basically taking his audio from his machine in Scotland and mixing in music and being able to broadcast his music as if it's at my computer. and taking over the stream. It's insane what you're doing right now in my mind.
Yeah, it's like the microphone I choose in Skype. You know how you choose an audio input?
Sure.
Is this thing called DS106 Radio, which is just the name I've given this this combination in Loopback. It makes Loopback creates virtual audio devices. That's what you would say. And you can put it in. And yeah.
I understand 30% of what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't really understand what you're saying. If you look at my Loopback settings, I've got like 25 different devices I've created, and this is one that works. Most of the rest of them don't.
I want a tutorial. Part of what I was going to ask you is you shared your... So I have Audio Hijack, and I'm using it right now to record this conversation. Yeah. Hopefully that's working. But... the question I have for you is, like, how do I get my head? Because Stephen Hurley was on the radio. He sounded amazing today. He was, he's like, sounded great. He was not like me. He was a professional. So one of the things that I heard was that, like, he sent and shared his settings in Audio Hijack, which he's using. And I still, when I open up Audio Hijack, it's like almost like how someone must feel when they first open up WordPress or when they first open up cPanel. I'm just like, where the hell do I start? Like, how do I even begin?
For a while, after I found out about DS106 Radio, a friend of me and myself set up a sort of educational radio here. And we used Nicecast. And then Nicecast said, oh, we're going away. Yeah. There's a cheap deal on Audio Hijack. So I grabbed that then. And I kept using Nicecast because I couldn't get Audio Hijack. I suspect it's actually for younger people. It's probably easier to get their heads around Audio Hijack. But it because it's all that drag and drop stuff and things, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how I worked out how to work it though. I have a screenshot in my blog, which is my settings.
I got them. But I didn't understand them.
So you just drag things on from different places. I'm trying to think. I'll just tell you.
How do you monitor it, though? Like, so if you do how do you monitor it? Because I want to do a session where I can show people how to do this. Actually just show myself how to do it. Let's be clear on that.
So, wait a minute. I'll see if I can find that screenshot again. I think I can't scroll Hijack. That's my phone. That's one thing. Alan. I've also got a 2016 MacBook, which types special letters just for you when you don't want to, you know. I usually have a... there we go. I found it. So,
I'm on the radio. I'm on the radio. Sorry, my kids are batting at the door. But that's all right. I'll keep them away. The barbarians are at the gate.
Yeah. So you're pulling in Skype. So you add an application, set it to Skype in Audio Hijack. You're pulling in your mic, an input device. And you might be pulling in something else as well, like, you know, that makes bleeps and boops or iTunes. And there's things like input switches that let you switch between different mics. And then I seem to be pulling that into an MP3 file. So it's recording that and pushing that on out to the radio. So one of the outputs is broadcast. So you grab that and you stuff in the DS106 settings in there.
Yeah.
As far as I remember. And I'm not sure if this is the right one. I seem to have found a different file than I sent you yesterday. Is that it? Oh, there it is there, yeah. So one of the things you can do, I think, is split the channels up so that you don't hear yourself.
That's
so
nice.
You send Skype, you add Skype. So in the Skype settings, you can choose to take both channels, and split them between left and right.
Huh.
So you pump everything out to your recorder and then out to your broadcast, and they... And then you take another fork from Skype, just getting the right channel, which I think is the one that's not you. and then you can run some whole volume in that and over, you know, do that. I think that's the thing I sent to you. But that was the simplest one we got.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm going to look at that because I promised there's two things. I'm going to look at that one, and then other people are saying I should look at Mix, M-I-X-X-X.org.
Yeah.
Have
I you think looked heard, at that? I've heard no? the word. I haven't looked at it now.
Oh. So I'll look at either one of those. But I want to actually, because I have Audio Hijack, and Stephen Hurley sent a similar schematic that you had. Mm. And I think between the two, I might be able to make sense of it. But I think part of the problem with my audio being low, which I don't think it's as low as people say, but anyway.
It sounds fine to me.
Exactly. Thank you.
I don't know what it sounds like. I don't know what it sounds like out in the radio because I forgot to, but I usually get two sets of headphones and plug my phone in so I can listen.
Yeah, that's a good one. But thank you, John, for saying that. I mean, just besides, because, you know, I can't trust Twitter, that's for sure. So I appreciate you. But I do want to test that. Audio Hijack, from what it looks cool, but like you said, it's almost like Yahoo Pipes. Like you got to put all the things together. And
well, that's what it's like. Yeah, it's a whole sort of series of things, you know. And it took me, I say, a good while of just doing stupid things to eventually get something that works. And I wouldn't even bet a whole lot on that being you know what I mean, being the right thing.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, but the fact is you're playing with it, and I got to do it. What I do is I get so wrapped up in, okay, I'm going to do a cast today. I'm going to do a vinyl cast. I'm going to get on radio. I'm going to listen, and I'm balancing that. I just got to stop, forget about that, and figure out my rig, and then come back to that. Like, people like, you know, Jason Toll, like, I love listening to them because they're so sharp and tight, and I love it, but I also love the fact that people come on like me and are like, how's this go? But I was afraid for a little while there I was going to hurt people with my levels.
I sure not. I'm grazing through iTunes here. I'm looking, what was it? I don't know what this is, but...
So is this based on the fact that you're going to hurt me right now?
Yeah, what's that say?
That not only the 75 people at Mary Washington could listen to, but whoever around the world could tap into thanks to the radio. And those radio waves were just coming out there. And what we were teaching was as easy to access as tuning into a web radio station. That's important. That's open education. That's easy, and there's no one who's on the outside of it. And you can share great stuff in audio. Sometimes we spend, and I quote and credit Grant Potter, sometimes we spend too much time trying to focus on the video or the visuals. Audio is enough often, especially look at what I'm doing. I'm just talking.
That's right. I'm just talking.
Yeah. That's good. I can't remember. I just found that. I've got in my iTunes, I've got quotes that I've played on various things, and that's a nice one.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Anyway, I wonder if we should kind of wrap this up because I've got to scrape the bottom of the pasta jar out, make some dinner.
Gotcha. Hey, look, it was an awesome, awesome opportunity to catch back up around the radio. I look forward to maybe talking again, sharing some of the settings. But look, thanks for just getting on and thanks for giving us an update and thanks for all you do, man.
Oh, no, I mean, it's just lovely to talk to you, Jim. I was actually... I thought with the music, maybe back and forward with that a wee bit, but didn't get there, did we? But maybe another time.
Oh, I just like to talk to you. I mean, the music's going to get in the way.
I think you just lost them now.
That's all right. Nobody's listening. That's rule number one of DS106 Radio. Nobody's listening.
What the good thing about it is, I think as well, about life, and I always like this, is... If you do it live, then it's hardly worth editing afterwards because you shouldn't have to. I mean, I spent ages cutting and removing clicks and stuff from podcasts. But if it's been out live, then I think it's probably good enough.
Exactly. And I don't have the patience to do that. And I tried doing that, and I'm just not a post-production guy. Like, I just want it raw. I want to be done, and I want to move on to the next thing. And live radio like this often is, you know, in the interstices of the rest of the produced web, right? Like, where the riffraff in between cuts. And I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah. Well,
John, I'll let you go make your pasta.
Right.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Jim. So another time, I would love to do this again.
We will. Oh, we will. Have a good night. Cheers.
Yeah.
Buenas noches.
Yeah.
Buona notte.
I don't know any languages other than, well, Scottish. English is kind of ropey, but yeah.
You know two languages. You know English and Scottish, right?
Scottish, yeah. Well, I don't know the English all that well, yeah.
You rule. I'm going to hang up on you, but don't take it personally, okay?
Yeah, that's cool. Bye. Catch you later, Joe. Cheers.
Bye-bye, John.
Bye.
That was John Johnston, and that was DS106 Radio, and that was awesome. You were listening to Jim Groom. That was an hour and change conversation with the great John Johnston, who is coming in live from rural Scotland, somewhere outside of Glasgow. And he was giving us the update and how crazy the way in which he had figured out. That's why I want to play with Audio Hijack. He had figured out how to get his setup so that he could talk on the phone with me, but then play his audio through his speaker. I mean, I guess it makes sense, actually. He's doing kind of what I'm doing, but while we were talking on the phone and he was playing music, I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, there's a lot of other people who know a lot more. Let's hear from them eventually. But this was DS106 Radio. I hope Peter Rowan, I got another person and another update from some of our very great DS106 long-term audio people. Audio Hijack is a dream for DS106 Radio, says Dr. Jones. Thank you. I will play with that. And you're a dream for DS106 Radio. Virtual audio devices on DS106. Suss out suspect devices. Paul, hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Wire 106 is for life. You know what, Martin, I do. I have a cat, and it's the loudest, most annoying cat in the world. But that's another story. But damn, that cat is annoying. But I have two dogs and a cat. I have two cats, but one doesn't come inside. And it's kind of like a weird adopted cat. Rule number one, Jeff Mason. Hey, again, no one is listening. And Michael Branson Smith, he is legend. This is DS106 Radio. You're all legend. Thank you for listening. A special thank you to John Johnston for coming on the radio and for, just breaking bread and hanging out and talking for a while. I've been on the radio for how long? I always like to check because I've been like radioing up. It's going to come to the point like where I stop sleeping again. There was some great quote. Werner Herzog said he calls all of his gray hairs Kinski. And I call all of my white hairs DS106. I don't necessarily want to get into that space again. I don't necessarily want to go there again. But when I talk with folks like John and the rest of you, it makes me want to go back into the abyss that is DS106 Radio for life. Well, it's been an hour and 33 minutes, and I think we're going to wrap this up. I took a recording. I'm going to see if that works. But like John said, and I kind of agree with John on this, like I'm not a post-production guy, and the live is good, and with the blips and bleeps and clicks and clocks, sometimes that's enough. And, you know, I don't want to have to sit for another 3 hours and make the audio sound great. I want to have the conversation, get a recording of it, and then go. It was trippy to hear him pull out a quote from me, and I don't know if that was from OER 2016, because that's when John and I finally met in person. And as with so many people I've met through DS106 Radio and EdTech in general, like, these people are as awesome, if not more, in person, you know, and awesome online and just giving, thoughtful. It's an awesome community of people in EdTech. And I say that more generally. You know, I'm lucky to have the people I've met, but I'm really fortunate for them right now. These days, these strange days, I'm super fortunate and I appreciate them. So thank you all. But anyway, I'll stop gushing on the radio. It's 1:35. That's how long I've been on. But it seemed like a minute, didn't it, people? Like a fast minute. Have a good night. It is Friday, 7:40 p.m. here in Central European time. And I'm going to connect off and then tap in and see who's on deck for DS106 Radio. Thank you all. Bye-bye.